For those who don't know me, my name is Keith Treadway. I do work here sometimes. I want to thank all those who have done so much for myself and my family over the last month. All the prayers, the phone calls, the texts, the cards, some of them I'm going to talk to you about. But they were funny and hilarious, the encouraging words. Thank you so much. And the meals, oh my goodness, we had so much food. We were piling it everywhere. And so I really appreciate it. And I'm so thankful, and I know you guys are too, for the pastors that stepped up and did a wonderful job. I was able to watch. And you may not know it, and I'm glad their beepers weren't on, but I was texting them while they were preaching the whole time, saying, "Hey, that's a great pointer. Hey, have you thought about this?" and all that. So we had, I assume they read them. I guess I'll find out later. But it was a good time. I thought that for this Christmas moment, or this Christmas season, we would just pause from Acts, although I'm sure I'll refer to it, and just kind of have some Christmas reflections. And today's message is kind of on waiting, but it's not really a great title, but the concept has to do with that. There'll be two passages that we're going to be looking at, Galatians 4 and 2 Peter 3. Galatians 4 and 2 Peter 3. But I'd like to begin kind of with an introduction, and it's a little bit longer maybe than normal, maybe not for me though. But life is really a series of waiting. Life is really a series of waiting moments. You think about it. You're waiting for your first day of kindergarten, right? You remember those days? Anybody remember kindergarten? A few people. So for some of you, that you have to go back just a few years. You've got to remember this. You're waiting for the day you get your driver's license. Come on now. I don't know what it is now. They seem to change the rules. I remember when I turned 16, the day I turned 16 was the day I got my license. And my mom being the manager of the license bureau in Elkhart, that worked out real nice. I was able to get right in and get the test and get it over with. That was an exciting day, but you had to wait for it. You got tired of your brother driving you everywhere, right? You like to have a little freedom on your own. Of course, then you had to ask your brother for his car. Anyway, then you had to waiting for high school or college graduation or tech school or whatever school you went to or some training. Then you wait to hear if your job that you wanted, you landed that job. Did you get that job? And you wait for the day when you retire from that job, right? But how about maybe today? Have you ever, in our today's culture, ever been waiting? You're at a green light where it's turned green. You're waiting for the person in front of you to stop texting and to get moving. I'm the only one that has that happen. Okay. How about experiencing the doctor's office where they tell you to be there at 9? Now, the doctor's office opens at 9 a.m. You made sure you were there at 9. In fact, you got there at 8:45, and there's no one in the entire waiting room, right? There's nobody there, and he finally sees you at 9:45. And then you go back into the room, and you wait 10 or 15 more minutes. So now, you know, we don't know all what he's doing. He could be saving someone's life. But there's that whole thing about waiting, isn't there? And how about waiting as kids growing up, or maybe even today, for the Christmas presents? I don't know when you open them. When I was growing up, it was Christmas Day. Mom and Dad let us open one gift Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day. Now, you wouldn't think about this. You'd think me being the youngest of all the boys, I would be the one up running around. But no, my older brothers, they come waking me up at 5:30 and 6 in the morning, and I'm sleeping. Let's go! Christmas Day! They couldn't wait anymore. Well, there's more serious things that we wait for, though, aren't there? It's not just those things that might be irritating or an inconvenience, but sometimes things are a little more serious. How about waiting for that test from the doctor, right? You know something's wrong. He knows something's wrong. He's afraid to say anything, and he's probably right not to say anything until they take more tests. And you wait. And you wait. But you hurry up and wait for those things. And it's not so bad for you. I mean, it's bad for you, but how about if it's for one of your loved ones? How about if it's for one of your kids? Yeah, we wait for those things. How about waiting for a prodigal child to return to the Lord? That's a tough one to wait for. You know, you're praying, you know the Lord could do anything and he will do anything, but you just pray and you wait and you pray and you wait and you pray and you wait. Life is a series of waiting moments for sure. But waiting on an answer of God, from God, for something you've just been after for a long time. You got to know that since the Garden of Eden, however, when sin came to the world, death by sin, waiting on God's promises is just a part of God's plan. Waiting on God's promises is just part of his plan. It's a way of life. Most people, including Christians, are really in a hurry concerning spiritual answers from God. I get it. I am too. Something gets on your mind or something's bothering you, you go right to prayer, you start praying about it, and you're hoping that you get that answer, and you get it before you say amen. But it doesn't always work out that way. And when God doesn't answer in a certain time frame, it's tempting to become frustrated. It's tempting to become discouraged, maybe even doubt the promises of God. And for some, depending upon the severity or the kind of prayer where you're at, it might even cause you to doubt God himself. Waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. I thought I'd get a big amen, but that's okay. I know you believe that. I know you know that waiting can be very, very tough. I want you to think of the time of Mary and Martha, right? And their brother, Lazarus. About that, they waited. They waited a while, and then they finally said, we got to send somebody because he's about to die. Let's go send him, get Jesus. And when they sent and told him about the situation, Jesus delayed, and he made them wait, and Lazarus died. Now, these are folks that were very close. They were tight, okay, friends. And he waited. He made them to wait. That was hard for them. Though it's hard to believe, though, that at time the truth of the matter is, are you ready? God is never late. He's always on time. It's just that our time and his time are different. Now, in our Christmas thoughts today and our story today, we need to remember that the nation had been waiting for thousands of years. I mean, you go back to the Garden of Eden, but when Israel was established and then the promises, the prophets began to develop, and a little more as the more prophets began to develop, the vision of the Messiah coming and the excitement of it, he was going to save his people and all this, they had been waiting and waiting. And also you got on top of that, from the last writing of the prophet until the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the silent years, don't we? 400 of them. That's a lot of generations. That's a lot of waiting around. You think they ever got discouraged? You think they sort of just said, well, whatever, I'm just going to live my life, and I guess when he shows up, I'll say, hey, here you are. It's good to see you. That's all good. It can be discouraging. Do you think any of them ever prayed, how long, O Lord, how long before you come? We don't like waiting, for sure. But waiting is an essential part of our own spiritual growth. There's a lot of things that we could say here. Let me just throw out a couple that you probably know very well. For example, waiting is really like a stretching workout for us in our Christian life. It's part of God's discipleship program. It's part of his workout program for us. It helps us to grow up in the faith. Because you got to remember, the process is for us to look like Jesus Christ. And that just doesn't happen overnight. You just don't look like it. Now, even with a little one, you know, everybody says, oh, they look just like so-and-so, right? How many of you have ever said that? You look just like so-and-so when they're a baby. Hey, all babies look alike. I'm sorry. They're all related. They're like, yeah, you know, they got two eyes, two ears, nose. That's nice. But as they begin to grow, then you start to go, oh my goodness, looks just like his mother, or looks just like his father. And sometimes they say, I'm so sorry about that. And that's what happens. So you have this waiting example. You know, so as God's goal is to conform us to the image of his son, waiting is a part of that discipline process, that working out process that helps us get there. It's part of his plan. You know, as I was going through surgery and therapy from the surgery, I'm reminded over and over again of the importance of getting stronger gradually, day by day. They send you home with all this stuff. You know, when I was there, before I left, they made me go to PT, physical therapy, and there were some folks there with all this equipment all over the place. And I'm going, do I really have to do, I mean, the room was big. I'm going to do all this right now? Well, I didn't have to do all this, but they wanted to see what I could do, and they showed me what I had to do. They had a sheet of paper with like 10 exercises, and they said, now look, of all the things you can do, you need to do these things. And you need to be make this a part of your daily life. Do you understand me? Yes, I do. Well, let's go through it right now. So we went through it, and they were like, wow, that's pretty good. Okay, you were able to do this, this is great. So we don't have to have you or somebody come out. You can just do it at home, which is what I've been doing. But you have to become stronger each and every time. And I found that same way as I coached. For the years when I was coaching, I was telling my athletes, you know, disciplined workout, the tension that brings upon your mind and upon your muscles is imperative for you to become a better athlete prepared for whatever's ahead. But that takes a long time. It is a stretching workout program. Waiting is like that for us. It stretches us. It stretches our faith. And Jesus is very interested in growing you and I up. So I want you to think of like Coach Jesus here and his strategy to get you and I mature, to grow up, to look like Jesus Christ, because his goal is to conform us to the image of his Son so that we can reflect Christ in the world today. That is what it's all about. The problem is so many times people won't do their PT exercises, that's physical therapy, spiritually. They ignore it, and then they find themselves months, years later, and they're no more mature and no more grown up in Christ than they were the day they were released from prison of hell through faith in Jesus. And that's no good. And you and I don't look, and we want, people say, well, I don't get into those spiritual conversations. Well, as we become more like Christ, you're going to have those conversations because you're going to reflect the very image of God in how you talk, how you think, how you act. So Jesus is interested in that. James even writes about this kind of coaching thing where he says, you know this verse very well, the testing of your faith produces something here. We got this waiting period of testing time and going through struggles. It produces steadfastness. Some versions say patience. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How many of you lack something today? You don't have to raise your hand. I think we'd all put them up. So the process is still going on, isn't it? Waiting is a part of it. What are you waiting on today? What are you waiting on? Okay? We have all kinds of things that we wait on in our life. But that's just one. Waiting is part of God's stretching workout program. But waiting also reveals the depths of our own genuine faith, whether it is genuine or not. This is really a big one. I don't want us to miss this at all. There are some things you just cannot fake. Now, they sent me home with this material to work and everything, and I could tell them online because they're contacting me every week, how's it going? This is what you should be feeling, and this is how you should be. Are you doing your workouts? And I type back. Now, you know what? I could fake the whole thing. Man, I'm working out 5 hours a day, lifted 3,000 pounds and whatever else. It's great. But here's the point. I had a meeting with the doctor 4 weeks later. I can't fake it. He's going to find out. He's going to find out exactly where I am. That is the way it is spiritually as well. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where you are, where I am in our life with him. And so we need to understand that we must know that waiting reveals in us where we're at with the Lord. And the Lord doesn't say you have to always love it. Of course not. But it's part of our training, and it reveals whether we are truly following him and trusting in him. It's hard to do, but it's a necessary part. And if you're listening to God, your level of trust and obedience will deepen. And you will see whether you have or not made any strides in faith. You're going to be able to do all those exercises that you weren't able to do. And by the way, out of all the exercises, there were a couple that were very, may I say, pretty impossible to do at first. Couldn't be done. But not now. Don't you want to be there in your spiritual life? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired sometimes of the same things getting you upset? That same thing, that same person, that same situation. And God says, man, if you grow in faith, you can get way beyond that and be able to handle it in a more spiritual way. It's hard to do, though. It's hard to do. Well, there are other reasons, of course. Those are just two. There are many reasons God has for waiting. And I want to kind of think about that as we get into this Christmas theme. That's our introduction a little bit. As we get into a little bit of to what I want to say today. I want to give you the big idea. I want to give you the big idea, all right? Here it is. You can memorize it. If you're good at that, you can put it right in your head. Otherwise, you might want to write it down. We want to celebrate God's grace through faithful service as we wait with joy for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. We want to celebrate God's grace through faithful service as we wait with joy for the soon return of Jesus Christ. All right, let's start with the first part, celebrating God's grace. That's what Christmas is all about when you think about it. That's not a hard thing to do at times. It can be hard for people. But years before the Gospels were written, years before all those great stories you find in Matthew and Luke about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love to read those, and we will be reading those, by the way, at Christmas time once again, there was another guy talking about the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ years before anything there was penned. You do know that, right? His name was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote several things about the coming of Jesus Christ. Here's one that you know very well, and this was written years before the Gospels. He says, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Wow, there it is. The grace of Christmas, God's grace. Christmas is part of the big gospel story. The story of God's grace is found in the coming of Jesus Christ to earth to bring salvation to all men through his death, burial, and resurrection. But you do know, let's hang in there, that this story is wrapped around this whole period. And what's the word? Waiting. Maybe I need to repeat it more often. I'm sorry. We're talking about waiting. This whole story is about waiting. We're celebrating it. I'm enjoying Christmas Day. What about 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 years of waiting for the coming of Messiah? Now, they celebrate, but not as we would. So here we have this whole time. God didn't send the Messiah during Adam's day. He didn't come right after Adam and Eve. God didn't come at Moses during his time. God didn't come when King David was around. Oh no. He waited for his time to come. And it was a perfect time. It was a perfect time when he came. Historians tell us that this phrase, fullness of time, has a particular meaning to it, and Paul's using and applying it. If you studied history, Christian and secular, it was ripe for the time for the coming. And the reason why is because of the situation of the world. Rome had conquered much of the known world, not all of it, much of the known world, and there was a semblance of peace, not as much infighting, because Rome would put things down as they could. So we have Roman Empire, and what did they do? They not only brought about peace, but they brought about a highway system that connected all these countries and lands and cities, and word could get out all over very quickly. But there was also the Greeks that had contributed as well, a language, a common language. And so now people are able to interact and talk, even though they may be from another country, because most people, when they had commerce, they would speak either Greek or Latin. So there was something there common. Now the world was connected both through a road system and also through language. But there was also a deep void of lack of spirituality. People were just looking for something to do. They were many, many different gods, seeking peace, seeking something that had more meaning than just, I get up, I work, I go home, I start over, and I do it all again. What is life all about? So they're trying to fill all that. It sounds like today, doesn't it? People try to fill today with so many things. Now, you can imagine the generations of people, though, that of God's people who asked and they prayed and they cried out for God. God, why won't you send Messiah? Why won't he come? I'm waiting. I don't have an answer for that. The Bible does tell us that God's ways are not always understandable. We cannot know. His ways are greater than ours. We won't always figure God's out. But the amazing truth of this Christmas story is that it is a story of God's grace. And it's not something that we just celebrate on December 25th as well. God's timing was perfect in this. We have to trust him in that. But the great thing about it is that his promises are true, and we can trust him in everything in our life. Christmas screams to us this one thing for today, okay? You and I do not have to worry about God's waiting room. It's not like God forgot, and he's, a thousand years later, oh yeah, I forgot about them. No. We are in a waiting room, but his timing is perfect, and at the right time, Christ will come again. So here we go. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Woo! Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We can celebrate Christmas. We can celebrate the Christ child. I just want to get this theme for you. They had to wait a long time for that. Now, since the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are what? What? Are you ready? How many of you are ready? Yes. Well, we're going to find out if you're ready or not. We're going to find that out. There's some things you can't fake, right? You might even fake yourself, but you're not going to fake God out. So here we have that. So here we have Jesus, man. Every day of the year we're celebrating. God came, joy to the world. We can celebrate God's grace. That's what I love about that first part of that big idea. We should celebrate God's grace. We should celebrate his coming. We should be thankful. I appreciate Pastor Josh's message this last week about being thankful. Yes, we should live that kind of a life, that kind of an attitude. Celebrate, be thankful. But there's a second reason that's in part of this big idea that we often miss. I think we know about it, but we don't think about it as much. And it concerns the purpose of God in waiting. And this makes Christmas and our situation even better. All right? So that's found, if you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 10. We're going to read through that and just make a few comments concerning this purpose of God's waiting, and this is the awesome part, it has to do with his very character. It has to do with who he is, his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his long-suffering, and his mission. I'm going to jump right in here as Peter writes about this mission of God's grace that we celebrate. The second reason why we wait. Are you ready? We're waiting. Why? Here we go. This is awesome. Peter writes this. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. And both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by a way of reminder. Thank God for all his reminders. We do tend to forget. That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and the Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires, and they will say, where is the promise of his coming? But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, A thousand years is as one day. And here it is, folks. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Wow. God's waiting room is what? It's an act of grace. God's waiting room is an act of grace for us as we are stretched and worked out, and we're maturing. We don't like it, but we need to work out. We need exercise. We need to eat right. We need those things. We need that discipline, but it's much more than that. It's an act of grace for the people who do not know Christ yet. His desire is that how many would come to him? All. All. For those who don't, eternal death is assured. And that's a death, a separation from God, in a terrible place reserved for the devil and his angels called hell. But God's story of Christmas extends. The waiting room is a gracious act to mature us and to call others to salvation. That's why he's waiting. Man, if it's up to you and me, I imagine if it was up to me, I won't pick on you. Maybe you can join me. But if it's up to me, I think God would have already come. Thank God, and everybody can say amen on this, that I'm not God. That's okay. I amen with you. I don't want to be. I'd be a terrible God. I'd be a terrible God. Christmas drives us to God's great salvation, but it does more than that. It drives us to the very heart of God. It drives us to the very heart of God. That's his mission. What? To reach all people. To reach all people. Christ died for our sins, yes. He rose again, yes. He offers salvation to all who believe, yes. But the mission continues. I don't mean to offend, but I'm sure this will offend some. I want you never to swallow the lie that many would say that Christ only died for the elect. That is a lie. And you can't defend it. I don't care who it is. I could name some folks that are very famous and have lots of books. No, I'm sorry. Peter made it very clear that God does not wish for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. God makes it very clear that he loved the entire world, that whosoever will may come. Those are pretty clear things. That's a side note. But there's some people, somehow they push aside their responsibility to be involved in the mission because God's already elected everyone. Therefore, I don't have a responsibility. And that, my friend, is a lie and a heresy. For whether you even believe in that, God has called you and I to go to the whole world and preach this gospel to every creature. Period. Get around that verse. You cannot. You cannot. So here we have this. God's Christmas and God's waiting room is all about grace. Now it's been 10,000. It's been 2,000 years, not 10,000. Woo. 2,000 years since Jesus was born. Since Jesus was rose again. 2,000 years since the forming of the church. 2,000 years since the calling of the church to go. 2,000 years plus since the promise that he's coming back again. We've been waiting a long time. But the story of Christmas ought to energize us. It ought to get us excited because as those folks waited for the coming of Jesus Messiah and he came, so too we can trust God that he's coming again soon. He's coming. And it's happening soon. He's coming soon. I mean, you think about it. 2,000 years and what's going on today? We've got wars. We got rumors of wars. We got more wars that are about to happen, probably. That's the way that it all. By the way, you know this. There are a whole lot more wars going on that get reported in the media all over this world. Now, they're not major conflicts in our eyes, but they're major to the people that are going through them. People that are in villages are being attacked, ransacked, slavery, murder, butchery, all those things are going on. And I tell you, it's only natural for us, especially when you watch the news, you got to be careful about watching too much news. I'm just saying. Most of you know Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, right? He's the guy who wrote that poem, Christmas Bells, in 1863. It was later turned into renamed into a song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, right? So he's watching all this as a believer, and the sixth stanza is pretty dark. You probably know it. I'm going to say it to you. He says that, in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. This is right in the middle of the Civil War. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you feel his pain? Do you feel the struggle he's having? Do you feel the same way about, oh, God brings joy and peace? Is that true? It is. Do you see peace on earth, goodwill towards men? Not very often. There are things that happen that encourage us, people that do things that do bring peace. So we have this going on. And Lord, yes, joy to the world, but Lord, when are you going to come again? Because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of joy right now. But again, if there's one thing Christmas teaches us, is what? You can trust God. He fulfills his promise. Just as the first, as Jesus came first as a young baby, he is going to come again. So Christmas is not just about a baby. This is a gospel story. This is like chapter 3. We have chapters before the coming of Christ. We've been living several chapters, but there's one more chapter to come, and that is the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But our lesson's not done yet. Yes, we celebrate God's grace, and because it's not grace just towards us so that we mature. It's grace towards a lost world. That's why he's waiting. You say, oh, come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, yeah. But there's another part of it, and that's the faithful service aspect of the big idea that we must be involved in. So the exhortation really comes from Peter as well. What must we do while we wait for the fullness of the time? What must we do while we're waiting for Jesus to come and take us home and end this wickedness on earth? Well, it comes from Peter's final words, and this comes from verses 14 through 18 in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where it says, therefore, beloved, since you are, I love the word, what is it? It's waiting. Since you're waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, this is something we're doing, and at peace. And count the patience, listen to this phrase, count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Don't run by that too fast. God is not willing that how many would perish? Any. That all would what? Come to repentance. It's a grace, the waiting room of God. We don't like it, especially when it's a conflict or something hard that we're going through. But it's a grace. Count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, who also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letter when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction as they do other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, and here it comes, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. What's he saying here? Pretty simple. We have been given a grace of God that has been our salvation. And we are now in the waiting room for not the first return, but the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But along the way, by the way, we still sit around and kick back and have a bunch of ices. Although that sounds really good right now. And I would be really happy if someone brought me one right here, but that's okay. You don't have to run out. We're not supposed to live there. There's a mission that we have got to do. We're part of this. It's not, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending Jesus. I can't wait. I'm just going to sit back and watch the clouds. No. Oh, no. No, 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 no. We're in part of the mission. There's an old song that many of you would probably remember. We've a story to tell to the nations. That's it. You see, God has put in us this grace of salvation. Paul talks about it, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And what does it do? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, what should we do? Live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Is that all that we're to do? No. No, that's our mission. Living soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, that's part of our grace to the world. Why? Because we're part of God's mission. What do we do as well? Looking for the blessed hope. Christmas is chapter 3. We're in chapter 4 and 5. And we're looking for chapter 6 and 7. And we're part of this mission. It ought to be a time of celebration. God's waiting room is a room of grace. It can be very painful, absolutely. It's not much fun sometimes. It has caused me to reflect. And I don't always like that. And come to the realization that God is God. His timing is perfect. And my pain, whatever it is I'm going through, is part of the process to help me trust Him. Are you waiting for God for something? That's okay. The cool part is Jesus is in the room with you. You're not the only one in the waiting room waiting to be seen. He sits with you and walks with you. And so we have this whole concept here. What are we going to do in this waiting room? I think that we should take Christmas to the nations then. That's what I want you to do this December, okay? Is today the first? Oh, we're on the front end. That's good. That's all right. So now we're not late. You can now do it every day. Ask God in some way, somehow, in different ways, not all the same. Take the grace of God to the world, your world. Yeah, I don't know, you don't have to write someone in Australia unless you know someone there that needs the Lord. But there could just be a variety of circumstances where you could reach and touch a life through a text, an email, a personal contact, dropping off, saying hi, bringing a meal, sharing love, whatever it is that God would lead you to do. Bring Christmas to the nations, beginning in your little world. Let's celebrate God's grace. How? Through faithful service. Is that it? Oh, no. As we wait with joy for the soon return of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He's coming again. With power and great glory, He's coming again. How about you today? I would ask you this question. What is it that you're waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for? The world's looking for answers and solutions. And people are constantly waiting. And as much as I'm always hopeful for a new elected whatever that's a president or leader in the world that maybe somehow will find peace, that's not where peace is going to come. Not unless that leader follows Christ. But that doesn't change our mission. What are you waiting for? I would encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come today, this very moment, that you would be at peace with Him. That means you know without a doubt that if you were to die or you were to face God today, He would say, "Welcome, child. welcome into my presence. God's grace has come to you today. The Bible lets us know his word. You can read it for yourself. That God loved you and me so much, he sent Christ. That whoever believes in him won't perish. Why would we perish? Because all of us are sinners. We're separated from God. The Bible makes that clear. Our sin is what condemns us. And we cannot save ourselves. People are under the impression, but if I just clean my life up, if I just turn my... I'm not going to fall. It's okay. I want you to think of this book as being a record of your entire life. Okay? You all with me? It's got everything in here. Oh, look at those cute little baby pictures. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, you're 2 years old. Yikes, let's skip that. And then you get into the elementary years and teenage years and all that. And it's got a whole record of everything you've done. Everything you've done. You got it? People are under the assumption that all they have to do to be able to extricate themselves from judgment with God, to get themselves right with God, is that they have to turn over a whole leaf, so they just turn it around. What's the problem? I still got my book. It's still there. Oh, but I'm going to turn my life around, okay? What's the problem? Oh, no. I still got the book. This thing's full of everything. It's full of good stuff, too. It's full of good, it's full of bad, and people will think, well, if my good outweighs my bad, I'm going to be okay, but the Bible makes it clear that unless you are absolutely perfect, you will never be with God in heaven. You say, no one is perfect, and I'd say, amen, that's right. That's why you have Jesus. And this is how it works. God commended his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, if we come to him and trust in him alone for our salvation, he takes that book and he's able to put, we would go on him, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sin that so easily corrupts us and ruins us. That doesn't come by effort. That comes by faith. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ, you've never laid yourself, Lord Jesus, I try to do my best, and I'm sure you appreciate that, but I know my sin. I can't clean myself. Only Christ came, and I'm trusting what Jesus did. He died on the cross, and he rose again. And I'm laying right now by faith, trusting in you to be my Savior. If you will do that, you will enter in to the grace of God that brings salvation. Have you done that today? It's not knowing it that saves. It's trusting in it. Are you ready for God to come? Are you ready? Don't play around with that one. Give your life to Christ right now. Believer, I don't know what your Christmas seasons were like in the past. Everyone has different experiences. Some are good, some are bad, and some's a mix. But I want to tell you that let's live what the Bible says this Christmas. We've had bad times. Let's admit that. There's been some bad Christmases. Woohoo! Bad. Maybe you even had really bad Christmases, but not this year. Why? Because you know that in this waiting room of God, Christmas is part chapter 3 and 4 that celebrates his coming. But it's this ongoing story that he's coming again. And may this Christmas, beginning today, because it's the first, you and I say, I will bring Christmas to the world by sharing the Lord Jesus with them. Will you commit to do that and find joy as we wait for his sure coming? Would you pray with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I would imagine in a crowd this size, there are always folks that may not have that full assurance, and they're not sure that they're saved. They've heard the word maybe, or maybe it's new. Or maybe they have a different idea of what salvation is. Like, well, I just need to go to church, or I just need to believe in God. My friend, I love you in the sense that you need. I love you by giving you the truth. The demons know God. The devil knows God. It's not knowledge that saves. It's faith. And it's not faith in being good, faith in good things, and faith in Christian things. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone. Are you trusting in Him as your Savior? I would beg you this day, this moment, will you call upon the name of the Lord? You can do that right where you're at. You can cry out to God. He knows your heart. You can't fake it with God. These words aren't going to save you at all. But your faith in Christ, expressed through these words, brings salvation. Would you simply cry out to God and say to Him from your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming to earth and dying on the cross to pay for the penalty for my sins. I understand now, not just the story, but the meaning of the story, that I'm dead. I'm on my way to hell. But you have loved me so much that you have made a way for me to be saved. And I'm trusting in Jesus and what He has done. And I'm trusting in Him to be my Savior. Please save me, Lord. Oh, pray that, I pray. Call upon the Lord. And if you have, welcome, brother and sister. God has saved you. And for so many of my brothers and sisters that have done that, let's make Christmas what it's supposed to be. A continual celebration of God's grace as we wait upon His second coming. And let us make a decision in different ways. Let us take Christmas to the world. Father, we do have a story to tell to the nations. A story about life and salvation about the Lord Jesus. And I pray that you will bring about that salvation in our hearts. And use us to bring about the salvation in the hearts of many. We'd love to see this place packed out with lost people or people that have just come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and are wanting to serve and worship, and we'd like to see that spread throughout our city. For we know that is the true solution for peace on earth is when the Prince of Peace comes in our hearts. So we cry out to you today. We cry out to you even now, Lord Jesus, as we wait for your return. May you find us working with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.